Thank you. It's a privilege to be able to be here tonight and to share with you. I'm thankful for that opportunity. And also they put me down here so I can be closer to you. I guess that's the reason. I want to share, begin by looking at Psalm 126 together. If you have your Bible or if you have the Pew Bible there, or you can, I'll read it. So if you don't want to turn there, you don't have to. It's one of the Psalms of Ascents, which I believe there are 15 of right here, right after Psalm 119. So this would be the seventh Psalm of Ascents. Probably would have been used as a song that the people of Israel would sing as they were going up to Jerusalem at a feast time. This one, from what it talks about, we don't have any, you know, there's no proof or whatever, but it seems like from the content, it's probably written after Judah came back from the Babylonian captivity, and it's a psalm of praise and celebration. And I just want to take a moment to read this psalm, Psalm 126. I'll read the whole thing. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. This is a short psalm, but it's an encouraging one. It has a great promise that I want to point out tonight. And that is that those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. This isn't the only place in the Bible that we see this idea. In Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 61, where Isaiah is prophesying of the Messiah and what he would be. He said he would be one that that gives beauty in place of ashes. Jesus told his followers in John chapter 16, he promised them, you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. You know, of course, the greatest example that we have of this is of Jesus's work on the cross. We think of the tears that he must have shed in the Garden of Gethsemane before that, but what that led to, that God was able to take the greatest tragedy in the history of the world, the worst thing that ever happened, of all the things that have ever happened in the universe, the worst thing that ever happened would be that the Son of God himself would be killed on a cross by the people that he created. God took that worst tragedy in history and he transformed it through the resurrection into the greatest thing that ever happened. And if he was able to do that, if he was able to turn those tears into joy, then any tears, any sorrow that we have in our lives and that we experience, wouldn't he be able to turn that into joy as well? That's a great looking at Christ's cross and his resurrection and the tears that led to the joy is a great reminder and a great promise to us and a great reflection of this truth in Psalm 126. That those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. I want to share some tonight about our time in China and some things that the Lord taught us just by way of a testimony, really. And as I think about this verse, and this is a verse that when we were in China and leading a team of other Americans who were sharing the gospel on college campuses there, this passage was one that I shared with our team one day. I remember that clearly. I actually still have the sticky note in my Bible that I had written that day when I shared this with our team. And that we, you know, when we were in China, there was the sowing in tears. And I don't mean, it wasn't terrible. I don't want to say that. It wasn't some terrible, horrible experience, and we just cried every day, and we couldn't wait till we could get out of there. It wasn't like that at all. But as every Christian life is, as every life is, there were difficulties, and there were tears, and there were sadness. And of course, it was hard to leave our families, and there was a lot of tears shed on both sides through that. You know, we saw Chinese friends that we loved who rejected the message of God's love and forgiveness that we were sharing with them. That was sad. There were people that we, friends that we had that were walking with us and seemed to be walking with the Lord, and we saw them turn away from that and go their own way, and that was sad, and we shed tears and we were sorrowful over that. Living in an unfamiliar culture, as great as many wonderful things about the Chinese culture, and we liked it very much, and we liked living there, but anytime you're in a strange place with different people who have different ideas and a different way of life, that there were difficulties in that too. And there was, we cried and we were discouraged a lot. There was a lot of things that were discouraging to us. But I know that both Danielle and I would tell you that as we look back on the years and on the disappointments and whatever that we had, that we would look back and the focus for us would in no way be on those things that were hard or difficult or discouraging or sad. But instead, the focus would be on what verse 3 of Psalm 126 says: the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. And that we just are so thankful that we can come here, and as we're kind of in this transition and we're moving and a lot of unknowns kind of in our lives, but as we share with you about what God did or what God has done and is doing in China and also in our lives, we're just full of joy and we're so thankful because he has done great things and he's still doing great things around us and also in us. And so tonight, basically, I just want to share with you, I don't have a real great outline or something, but I just want to share with you some of the lessons that the Lord taught Danielle and I in the years that we were in China, and lessons that he's still building on and teaching us more. And so, this is just kind of by way of testimony. I hope that you'll find it to be encouraging to you and of how the Lord has worked in our lives. It's certainly encouraging to us to think back over these things. So I've got three or four points that I just want to share about how God worked. And hopefully as I do that, and I'll weave in some stories of what he is doing in China and what he's continuing to do, I think that will be an encouragement to you as well to know that he's at work there. The first thing I started making a list on my computer of what are the things that the Lord has been teaching us as we look back over the last few years. And so I just chose a few of them. This certainly isn't all that he's taught us. But the first thing that I wanted to point out that we felt a lesson that God taught us is that he would use us, that God uses us when we're available to him and when we're looking out for opportunities to serve him or to share the gospel. That being on the lookout for those opportunities seems to be one of the main requirements of being used by the Lord, just being available and being aware. I think one reason that we were able to learn that and to see that is because the nature of the ministry that we were doing meant, we didn't have Thursday night meeting where we hung a big sign out the door that said Christian meeting, if you're interested, come in. And then in that way, we just, talk to the people who come in. And we weren't able to do things like that in general. So most of it was us going out and meeting people and, trying to see if people were interested in spiritual things, if people had some kind of spiritual background or questions about God. And that, so as we, that was kind of our mode of operation, that we were the ones going out and on the lookout. We really found that you had to be looking out for those opportunities, and that if we were only looking out for them, that God would provide many opportunities and ones that we didn't even expect. you know, we would look for clues, really, that they might be interested in talking about a deeper conversation than just, do you like the NBA, which was the beginning of most of my conversations. But an opportunity to turn a conversation towards spiritual things. And we always had to be ready for that. And I feel like the Lord has really, that's a lesson that he's been teaching us and is still teaching us to be on the lookout. Because I know that we daily and regularly and here and also in China missed a lot of opportunities that we had because we weren't looking out for them. We weren't aware of them. And Peter says that you should always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that's in you. And I think that's a great encouragement and a great daily reminder for ourselves that we're supposed to always be prepared and be ready. And when those opportunities present themselves, that we're ready. And he says also right in the next verse, he says, but do it with gentleness and respect. So we're not only ready to, as soon as, you know, this moment we get the opportunity, we control the conversation and turn it to our advantage, but that we do it in a gentle and respectful way. And we had to be ready for that. And I'm not an expert at that by any means, but that was one of the lessons that the Lord was teaching. It was very simple in that. Back right before Christmas, I was in the student cafeteria, and that's where we did a lot of our ministry because students are, you know, in between class and they have some free time and big tables and you just get your food and go sit down and start a conversation. So that was one of our key kind of ministry and meeting people places was the student cafeteria. So I was on my way out and a guy walked up to me. A student, and he said, this was probably just a few days before Christmas, and he said, oh, you know, I'm in the English club, and we're having a Christmas Eve party, and we want you to come, so please come to our party. I wasn't going to be able to make it to the party because I already had other plans, but that kind of got us started up in a conversation, and I went and met the friends that he was having lunch with and started talking to them, and of course, That gave a great opportunity. Well, talking about Christmas, talk about what is the meaning of Christmas. And just as a side note, that was one of our greatest opportunities to share the gospel of the whole year was through Christmas. And Chinese people all know that there is a Christmas. They don't know in general what the background of it is. And so it was a great opportunity for us to introduce Jesus and why he came to the earth in the first place. And what does Christmas have to do with Easter? And we were able to have conversations like that. And really the Chinese church as a whole, to them, Christmas isn't a chance to, you know, have a few days off of work. They don't get a day off of work. It's not a chance to get time off of work and buy a lot of stuff and give gifts and overeat. To Chinese people, Christmas is the best chance that you have to share the gospel with your friends and family. And the Chinese church as a whole is faithfully doing that and was a great testimony to us of the, you know, just what is Christmas and what is the power of the message of Christmas. And so I started talking to Peter, and this was a great opportunity as I talked to him about Christmas and the meaning of it. I found out that last summer he had met an American friend who was a Christian, and this American friend had given him a Bible and shared the gospel with him. And Peter Peter himself was not a believer, but had a lot of great questions and curiosity, and I took him to a library that one of the other English teachers had on campus, and he checked out a Christian book, and he took it home, and he was reading it, and then after that, whenever I met him on campus, he had his Bible, and he had questions about, I was reading this parable, I don't understand it, what does this mean, and just saw that the Lord was really working in Peter's life, and the Lord gave me the opportunity to meet Peter and share with him some. And it was just because of that seemingly chance encounter and using that opportunity to speak for the gospel. Danielle, a long time ago, when we were first in China, she was on campus with one of her American friends, and they were just, I don't remember every single detail, so I might embellish it a little bit. But basically, they were just chatting on the side of the road. Maybe they were beside a bench or whatever. But basically, they were just talking. And the Chinese guy came up to them and started speaking English to them, and he was excited to meet foreigners and everything. And Danielle noticed that he had a stack of books, and in that book was a Christian. In that stack of books was a book about Christianity. And she said, "Oh, why do you have this, you know, book about Christianity?" He said, "Oh, well, I just became a Christian, you know, in the last couple months." And so through that, Danielle was able to introduce him to our team, and one of the guys on our team began discipling this guy whose name is Eric. And Eric began really just growing as a young Christian, and he came to a Bible study that I was able to lead. It was we were going through the book of Ephesians, kind of an in-depth Bible study methods kind of thing. And he began really just growing a lot, and he started sharing the gospel with other people on campus and leading other people. And when he graduated a few years ago, he decided to do full-time ministry, and he's still doing that. And he is in another city in China, and he's full-time on a college campus sharing the gospel with other young Chinese people. And that, again, that encounter was just a chance encounter on the side of the road. And yet the Lord used Danielle's initiative in talking to him to connect him to us. And we've been really blessed by knowing him. And he's one of our best Chinese friends. And so we're thankful for that. So I think as we've learned that lesson of the Lord using us when we're available and on the lookout, that's been a great lesson for us. And it's a little, you know, a little scary when you tell yourself you have a lot of opportunities, because then you have to start looking for them, and then you might feel like you have to take them, and sometimes that's intimidating and scary. But we're thankful that as we are willing, that the Lord is willing to use us, and there's many chances to be a light and a testimony for him. Very connected to that is another lesson that he taught us, and that is God uses us doing little things to do his big things. Or you could say that God does big things through us doing small things. Honestly, most missionaries, or probably all missionaries, whenever you write a prayer letter or whenever you come back home and you're giving a report, I mean, there's a lot of pressure to have some big, great stories that you can tell, and these amazing numbers and pictures of these people who were, you know, delivered from demon oppression and all this stuff. And that's, there's a lot of pressure to do that. And I think most missionaries feel that pressure. And I'll be honest, in the 6.5 years that we were in China, I didn't do any great things. None. That was in contrast to what I expected when I went, of course, as a foolish young person, which I still am, but I'm just a little bit older and maybe not quite as foolish. But when, you know, that, and I shared this a little bit at the men's breakfast, so pardon me if you're hearing it for the second time, but, you know, I imagined that in going to China and a missionary, and I was gonna, you know, I'd meet this person, and he had never, you know, he would never have heard the gospel before. He didn't know anything about God. He didn't have any religious belief. And I shared the gospel with him. And then he had a lot of questions, and I helped him through these questions and wrestle through these issues. And then finally I was there, and he was going to put his faith in Christ. And then I would lead him through some Bible studies for a new believer. And then after that, I would start training him and discipling him to reach other people. And he would become a leader on his campus. And then he would graduate, and he would go into full-time ministry, and he would go to, you know, some country like Kazakhstan and be a missionary. And, you know, I had this whole plan that I thought would, this would be the great thing that I would come back and tell you about. And you'd be like, "Oh, good thing we let Josh go over there to China." And, you know, he just really did it. As you know, no surprise, of course, that didn't happen. And, thankfully, because I think then I wouldn't have learned very much, and, I probably would have become a more proud person. And, but instead what God did was, yes, there were that reality that I just described to you of this person, those people exist, and that happens on a regular basis. That a person goes from knowing nothing to the Lord being saved, and the Lord growing them, and then them serving the Lord, whether in full-time ministry or not, but serving the Lord and following him for the rest of their lives. That happens all the time. But the point is that I wasn't the one holding their hand through all those steps. Instead, there were many young people college students who were walking down that path, and I was able to intersect their lives at some point on that. And, you know, maybe it would be the person who never had heard anything about God before and didn't know the first thing. Or, you know, maybe it was the person who had a lot of exposure to Christianity, but had some real maybe emotional or just intellectual blocks, and that, you know, helping them work through some issues, you know. And some people it was the new believers, and some people it was the older believers. Some people it was the ones who've graduated and are serving the Lord and walking with Him. And the Lord allowed me to intersect different people's lives all down that timeline, all through that journey, but just to be a small part of what He was doing in that person's life. And God used many people, many believers, to all be a small part in that person's life. And I know for me, and I think if you looked at your own life and your own spiritual journey, there's probably not that one person who held your hand from day one all the way until now. Instead, it was at different stages and different seasons in your life, God used different people in different ways. And that's how He chooses to work. And it's for His glory, and it's for the body of Christ to work together, is to keep us from being prideful at these great things that we thought we were going to accomplish. And that's really how I saw Him working in our lives, and the way He worked through us, and the way He worked through the people around us, was that He used the small, day-to-day, seemingly not big tasks that we were doing, but He used that as part of a very big thing that He was doing. And so we were thankful to be a part of that. You know, it seems that God rarely gives one person the whole task. I mean, even Paul, if there was any great missionary in the world, it would be Paul, right? And Paul, what did he say? I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the fruit. And so even Paul, this was his model, was that he realized that he was part of what God was doing in these churches and individuals' lives. But I think a lot of times we just don't realize, we don't see how our small part plays into what God is doing. So we feel like it's insignificant and it doesn't matter, and I'm just a nobody, and I'm a failure, and I've never transformed anybody's life, so you know, I'm not good at ministry or whatever. But that's because we're not realizing how God works. Just like I talked about the guy Eric, and how he was going down this, you know, going down this path, this journey, and we were there for a few parts of that. And there was other people that we don't even know who were other parts of that. But God used all of those things together in Eric's life. There's a girl named Amy, I think at the ladies' missionary meeting, Danielle shared about her. Amy was a student in Danielle's class, in Danielle's English class. And she had been working in this really great library that we had on our university campus, which was run by an American woman who's been in China since like the 80s when there was no Americans there. And she spent, you know, her whole life, basically, she has spent in China, and she started this library on the campus of her own books. Like, she's got, I think there's over 8,000 books in this library, and mostly English books, and a fair number of them are Christian books, and she uses it as an opportunity to share the gospel with students. So Amy was working in this library, had been reading some of these books, and was writing in her English journal that she submitted to Danielle about things she was learning. And, you know, she said, one day I think I might become a Christian. So Danielle saw that, and she introduced Amy to another girl on our team named Lindsay. And Lindsay began studying the Bible with Amy, and it wasn't long before Amy put her faith in Christ and became a Christian. And she brought her friend Lucy, who became a Christian as well, and they got involved in a local house church and in ministry there around their campus and also elsewhere. And another example of a small, you know, there was Joan in her library, and there was Danielle, who found that thing in the journal. And there was Lindsay, who led Amy in this Bible study. And there's the house church leaders and all these people who are a part, doing small things that are a part of the big thing that God has done in Amy's life. And we're just thankful for the lesson that we've learned. And it gives our, for me and for you, it gives our small tasks much more significance when we know that God will use them to his purposes. And we might not always know what there are. I mean, we don't always, some of these people who were at earlier stages in these students' spiritual journey, those people don't even know these students anymore. They have no idea how God is working in their lives, but he is. And we may not see what he's doing through our work, but he's doing it, and he's going to use it to accomplish his purposes, and we can be confident in that, and that can give us freedom as we serve him. A third thing that the Lord taught us, and more kind of personally, is that God wants us to be in a community of believers. And that's how God designed the Christian church to work, is that we would be living in a community that really depends on each other. So, I mean, we live in America, right? And we have the Declaration of Independence. So this is like one of the most independent-minded, you know, we're some of the most independent-minded people in the world. I didn't realize that as much until I lived somewhere else and saw that, and probably people like the Haddads may, they probably have a lot of thoughts about Americans, which graciously they don't share with us. But maybe they would, maybe they would back me on that. I don't know. But that we have very individual lives, and we're very independent, and we're able to take care of ourselves, and we have our house, and it has a fence around it, and people can't come in there unless we let them. And in some states, you can even shoot them if they do. And, we get in our cars and we lock the doors and roll up the windows. And it's very, you know, we live this, and it's not, I'm not saying that's a sin or that's a terrible thing, but that's the reality of how our lives are shaped. And we went to China, and it's very different than that because, I mean, first of all, there's 1.3 billion people. You know, I mean, it's a lot harder to get away from other people, you know, and instead of, most of the time getting in the car and rolling up the windows, we're cramming ourselves into a bus, you know, and some old lady is digging her cane into your back and all this. So, I mean, physically, yes, you're a lot closer to other people. But we really found that we, in more ways than just physically, did we depend on other people, especially on our team. And thankfully, we worked the whole time we were in China. We were working together on small teams of 6 to 10 people that had the same ministry focus, and we were working together and living in proximity, and we became very, very, very dependent on that Christian community. And I think the Lord used that community and that dependence to transform and to change and to grow Danielle and I more than anything else that we experienced. We were a group of outsiders in a strange place. We were away from our families. And really, we were forced to be friends with each other. I mean, this was like, you can imagine if you've got a group of 8 people, and they are your friends, and they're your family, and they're your coworkers, and they're the people that, you know, you eat meals with and everything. I mean, a very close-knit community. And it wasn't people that you picked. And it probably wasn't people that you would have picked if you had the choice. And, you know, I mean, it was, honestly, these weren't necessarily people that I would have, in a normal experience, chosen to be friends with. But the Lord built into us a real love for each other because we were forced into that. And we met each other's needs. We became surrogate families for each other and really depended on each other. Another couple, Jared and Shelley, that we're really close to, just were, they were a very significant part of our lives. I mean, when we had a miscarriage and we had to spend the night in the hospital, and then we had to be evacuated emergency to Hong Kong the next day, Jared and Shelley went to our apartment and packed our bags and brought it to us so we would have things to take with us. And when we were first pregnant with Harvey and afraid that we might have another miscarriage and really scared and sad, we went to their house and we, you know, just shared with them the pain and the difficulty that we were going through. And we knew about what was going on in each other's lives, and we shared about those things with each other. These are the people we spent our holidays with, and we studied God's word together. We had this common goal and that we were working toward. I mean, we had this mission and we said, this is what we're going to be about, and we're going to be about it together, and we're all going to work toward this. And that brought great unity to us. And then as we gathered together to pray for our campuses, that God would save students and He would transform this place, oh, it just brought a lot of intimacy. And we depended on each other just for basic things. I mean, you know, it was a whole other logistical kind of life in China. There wasn't Food Lion or something like that. I mean, a lot of things like that were a lot more complicated, and you needed somebody to help you. I got this text message and I can't read it. It's in Chinese characters. What does this say? You know, or I have no hot water and I don't know how to speak Chinese. Can someone, you know, help me? All of these things that we were forced to be dependent on each other. We really saw the best and the worst of each other, which wasn't, you know, that's not always pleasant to see the worst parts of other people, and it's not pleasant to have other people see the worst parts of you. But it gave us in this community a real permission to be accountable to one another, to call each other out on our sin, to know what was going on in Jared and Shelley's life and in their marriage, and for us to be able to speak truth to them, and them to be able to speak truth in love to us, and to open up ourselves and our lives to one another, to be to have that permission to do that in each other's lives. And that was really powerful and brought a lot of growth. And I just think of, you know, a guy that was on our team, and when we first met him, he was a very kind of insensitive and prideful kind of person, didn't really care about other people's feelings and thought he was great and he was going to save China and all this stuff. And in this community, I wish you could see the difference that we saw in him. Just as people on our team loved him enough to say, hey, this is how you seem, and this is how you come across, and this is how people feel, and to see him submit himself to that and to the Lord, and to allow the Lord to change his heart, and brought complete transformation, like a different person through living in this kind of community. And so we just really saw how ideal that kind of community is. And we're so sad to leave that behind and to leave behind those friendships. Not that we're not friends with those people anymore, but they don't live in our backyard anymore, and it is different. And so we're trusting that the Lord will provide more relationships and friendships like that. And we saw the importance of that and the real growth and blessing that comes when you open your life up to other believers and allow them in. And when you really make yourself love people, and when you see what happens when other people really love you. The last thing, just quickly, that I wanted to mention is that the Lord really taught us that He will meet our needs. Of course, financially, we were trusting in the Lord to provide for our needs, and He did that, and we're so grateful for that, and grateful for the chapel and many individuals here who supported us financially. But those weren't the only needs He met. We had a lot of logistical and personal and emotional and spiritual needs, and that the Lord met each and every one of them in His way. And I remember when we were going to move from our team that we were on before, and we're going to move to the university city. And our leaders asked us to pioneer this team and to move out there and to figure out everything. And we were just like, oh man, how in the world? I mean, how are we going to get visas? Where are we going to learn Chinese? Where are we going to live? How in the world? I mean, it was just like out in the middle of nowhere, this brand new place. What are we going to do? And I remember as we were kind of making our pros and cons list and talking through it and everything, and Danielle and I finally said, you know, we're getting so distracted by these type of logistical things. And if the Lord wants us to go there, He will provide for a visa and He'll provide an apartment. And let's not let that factor into our decision of whether or not we're going to go. Let's see, is the Lord leading us to go out there and start this team? And if He is, then we'll cross those other bridges. So we prayed about it. We felt like He was leading us to start that team. And of course, that sounds like a person full of faith, but I wasn't at all. And then once we got past that, then I'm worrying. And I can remember that period of my life where the last thought on my mind before I fell asleep was, where are we going to get these visas for all these people? And the first thought on my mind when I woke up in the morning was, where are we going to get these visas for all these people? And it was just, not much faith in there. But the Lord provided, and He provided what we needed there, and He provided the apartments and the visas and security. I mean, we weren't like in real danger from the Chinese government, but we wanted to be able to stay there, and we didn't want them to tell us to stop sharing the gospel, which we weren't supposed to be doing. 6.5 years, and the Lord protected us, and we never had any serious problems. Personally, with Danielle and I, never had any serious problems with security, and we were always able to minister as we felt the Lord was leading us to do, and we're so thankful for that. We're still in the process of learning these lessons. I don't mean to say this as, here's what I've learned, let me tell you, now you should go and learn it too. I mean, these are the lessons that the Lord began to teach us in China, and now as we move to a different job and a different place, now we're going to be learning, well, how do we use and apply and believe those lessons that he's been teaching us there? How do we do that in a completely different context and with completely different people? And, you know, we have to move to Memphis, and we have to learn again that the small, obedient things that we do, God will use those as part of what he's accomplishing. And we have to believe that that there are many opportunities for us to share the gospel if we'll just be on the lookout for them. And that'll be different because we're not going to be hanging around in student cafeterias full of Chinese people. And so I don't know what that'll be, but the Lord is going to continue to teach us those lessons. He's going to continue to show us that he'll provide for our needs. And he's going to continue to ask us to do difficult things so that we'll need him. Because really a problem for most of us is that our lives are so cushioned and protected that there aren't many times when we feel like we really do need him. And so that God would ask us to maybe do some difficult things where we would have to trust and depend on him. And he's going to teach us the value and the importance of community as we really have to start over from scratch. I think that was one of the hardest things for us leaving China, was leaving the community that we had. And one of the scariest things about moving to a new place is starting over and trying to find a new community of believers like that. But we trust that the Lord will provide, and he'll continue to teach us those lessons. And I hope that that's an encouragement and challenge to you, just as I've shared as kind of a testimony from Danielle and I of what the Lord has been teaching us. I hope that it will encourage you as well, that you'll be encouraged to know that the Lord will meet your needs and that he will provide for you like he promised to do. And that you'll be encouraged that the small things that you do in day-to-day life and in ministry, that God will use those things as part of his big plan. And that you'll be encouraged to be on the lookout for opportunities to share the gospel and to be a light for Christ, just in day-to-day interactions that we have with people, and that you'll trust God to bring those opportunities. And also that you'll be seeking out that kind of community that we see in the New Testament of people living together, loving and serving one another, meeting each other's needs, correcting each other when needed, supporting each other, encouraging each other, crying together and laughing together. I pray that you'll be encouraged by that as well. Danielle and I say that the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. And I hope that you're glad too as you hear about those and as you think about the Lord's work in your life. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great mercy in our lives. We thank you that you would save us, people who don't deserve it, people who seek our own way and are selfish and self-centered, Lord, but you would save people like us, and that you would transform us into your image, into the likeness of Jesus Christ, and that you would use us as part of the great things that you're doing. Lord, the great things that you're doing in China, the great things that you're doing in Greensboro, North Carolina, and all over the world. We are encouraged to remember that you are at work and that you are doing great things, and we are surprised to be reminded that you would use us as a part of that, Lord. We thank you that you're a gracious and kind and loving God, and we pray that these things that I've shared this evening will be an encouragement to the brothers and sisters who are here as they continue to walk with you and to serve you in whatever place and job and family that you have called them to. We love you, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, for the salvation that we have in him. We pray in his name. Amen.